this morning, we'll be starting a two-part series entitled The One Another Teachings of Jesus. And it's important for us as we take time to look at these to understand in our society today, people pick on the church regularly. They're willing to tell us what is wrong with the church. They want to tell us what is wrong with Christians. The Bible tells us something a little bit different. The Bible tells us what is right with the church, what is right with believers when they follow His Word and do what He has called us to do. They have all, you know, in the Scripture there are 22 different principles that are known as the one another principles that we can see that will help us to understand what it's like to be a part of a positive group of people. You see, the message today, I want you to hear, so often people hear a message and they go, oh, he's going to preach these 22 things that I'm supposed to be. No, I'm going to tell you the 22 things that you should experience in the body of Christ as a part of that body, demonstrated one to another for the glory of His name and the benefit of His children. And when we see these principles, and if those principles are operative in the body, you want to be in church. You want to be worshiping the Lord. You want to be with your brothers and sisters. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will take a look at these and one at a time. We'll look at the first half of them today, and then next week the other half. Father, we come before you this morning and recognize that you are here in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you would anoint each and every one of us. Fill us with your Spirit. Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, and our hearts that we may understand. Conform us to your will. Father, I pray for myself as I come into your pulpit this morning. Lord, I ask that you would empty me of myself and fill me with your Spirit, that it would not be my words but your words. I ask this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We will be looking at a number of verses today, and if you want to take the time to turn there, the first one we're going to see is Romans 12:10. And we see the first one here is that we are to be devoted one to another. There should be a devotion that we have as the body of Christ to meeting each other's needs, caring for each other, and loving upon one another. The Bible says this. It says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. And we'll see the honor one another a little later on. The being devoted to one another, that word literally means a family tie. A fraternal order, if you will. When we come together on a Sunday morning as the body of Christ, we must understand that you're not just somebody off the street that we hang out with occasionally. You literally are my brothers and sisters in Jesus if you're born again.
Amen.
And I'm your brother in Christ. Amen?
Amen?
And there must be a tie that binds us together that when you hurt, I hurt. When I hurt, you hurt. Devoted to one another means that when you have an issue or a struggle, we come together to hold each other up, to pray for each other, and to meet that need. It is a tragedy within the body of Christ if anyone goes without food within the body. It's a tragedy in the body of Christ when resources are available if people are living on the street. It is a tragedy when we do not step up and help in the medical arena when people need help. Being part of the body of Christ does mean sacrifice. It means giving one to another, taking from what God has blessed us with to help each other to be able to be all that God has called us to be. When the church is devoted to you and not just saying, where's your money? How are you going to serve here and make a difference? You know, we need Sunday school teachers. No, we need to have people. We need to be a body that says, you know what? You matter. And I matter. Because He says we matter. And we're devoted to one another. And yes, sometimes that means giving of ourselves. But I can tell you this. When you are a part of a body that gives one to another, you're willing to give to others. Because you're experiencing that love and that connectedness. Amen?
Amen.
That is what God calls us to do, is to be devoted to one another. The second one we see this morning, in chapter 12, Romans also, verse 16, it says the following, live in harmony with one another. And it goes on and says, do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. In other words, living in harmony with one another. It doesn't matter where you come from, what your background is. I don't care if you did not get out of elementary school or if you have a PhD. Jesus died for both. I don't care if you're white, black, from India, from Jamaica, Puerto Rico. Does not
matter where you came from. Jesus died for all people who would come to know him. Harmony means this, to be like-minded. Now, it's ridiculous for us to think that we're going to agree on every single thing. Some of you, here's a quick example. Someone, quickly, tell me your favorite color.
Red.
Okay, mine's purple. I already know I don't agree with everybody in this room. But that's not the kind of like-minded we're talking about, is it? Like-minded means we focus on Christ. We're drawing closer to him. We're living for him and serving him. God gives us freedom within the body of Christ to express ourselves in unique ways, whether it be by color or style. It doesn't matter. As we grow, and we need to understand, there are going to be people that walk through this door that don't look like us, talk like us, walk like us, but God died for them. Amen?
Amen.
If they come through with a rooster haircut, who cares? If they come through with all the armor on, who cares? If they come through looking for Christ, are we going to love them?
Amen.
That's harmony. Harmony says Christ matters, we agree that people matter, and we're going to come into alignment with God for the purpose of bringing glory to his name and seeing people saved and discipled for his glory. That's harmony. We're not going to agree on all the small things all the time. I can tell you, our staff team, we don't always agree on all the small things, but we are sold out on the big things. People coming to Christ, loving on them, showing them the love of Christ. Those are the important things. If you'll turn with me to Romans 15, and we'll see in verses 5 to 6 the following. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. There's the key. A spirit of unity as you follow Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible says about the road being narrow. Well, if we're all on that same road, we're all heading in the same direction, we're all going to the same place. Like-mindedness agrees with Christ. The third one we see this morning is accept one another. Turning back to Romans 15 again, or going to Romans 15, verse 7. It says, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. Wow, you know, I love the qualifier, as Christ accepted you. I just want to be careful here and not get too offensive to you, but have you ever looked in the mirror? Christ accepted you, amen?
Amen.
As you are.
Right.
Saved you when you came to him, if you know him, because you surrendered to him, now you're a work in progress. And will be the rest of your life. Praise the Lord. And as if we were to have mirrors here this morning, I've already illustrated a little of this, but we would recognize that we all come from somewhat different backgrounds. We look a little different. We talk a little different. But God saved us all who have come to know him. And thus, we must learn to accept one another with our differences. That goes back partly to the harmony. But the word accept here literally means to take to oneself, to receive. Now, I'm going to be careful how I say this because it could come across, you know, like, wrong. I am glad you're here. Not because the numbers in the church. I'm glad you're here because of Jesus loves you and you love Jesus. And we're here worshiping him together. And we accept one another because Christ accepted us. And it doesn't matter, and I repeat, it does not matter where you've come from. It matters where you're going. As the old song goes, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is our hope. And we want to see that wedding banquet to be packed with people who have come to know Christ. We want to see that wedding banquet packed with people who have come to know Christ through him using us to reach people, that he may be glorified. Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord. So we understand that we have to accept one another. Turn with me to Acts chapter 18, verse 26. Acts 18, 26 says the following. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue where Priscilla and Aquila heard him. They invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. We see a picture of accepting here. word invite is talking about that. You know, we can say all we want about being a positive body here on Sunday morning, and that's a really great thing. But there needs to be a deeper level of commitment to one another, a deeper level of love for one another in a church, that we actually are involved in each other's lives. You know, a lot of churches do fellowship Saturdays or whatever, gatherings. You know, we don't do fellowship. We gather for fellowship. I believe that to be true of our group. We gather because we love one another and want to spend time together. And to have that spirit of just moving amongst us that says each one matters. That's what the church is supposed to express to the world. When I say what's right with the church is a love for the lost and one another who are saved. People need to know they're important and want to know that someone loves them. Surveys have shown that most people, this sounds almost ridiculous, but most people are lonely. Oh no, but at work, they work, but they're lonely. They have no deep relationships with the people they meet. You can be in a crowd and be lonely. Crowds don't mean that you have connection. It just means you're around a bunch of people that don't talk to you, or you talk to them, so you're lonely. Crowds do not correct that problem. Love for one another corrects that problem. When people actually reach out and invest into one another's lives. The next one we see is to instruct one another. Going back to Romans again, chapter 15. Looking at verse 14 says, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. To instruct here means to caution or reprove gently. Now, it's one thing to be able to instruct in the way of the Lord. And sometimes people go, well, when you instruct someone in the way of the Lord, you're coming down on them. No, not at all. I use Brad, and this is not a real life story, but just to use his name and a real person in front of us. If Brad were caught in sin, my love for him must compel me to go to him to address him about the sin. Not to beat him up over it, but to put my arm around him and say, Brad, you know, this isn't right before the eyes of the Lord. Let me help you overcome this. Amen. That's what the body is supposed to do. I mean, there's nothing more ugly than watching Christians eat their own. And I've been around it. You've probably been around it. And how can I say this as gently as possible? I can't. It's wrong. Man, when someone's going through a tough time, the body must come around them. Don't turn their backs on them or shun them. Now, there's church discipline. We're not talking about that. We're talking in the earliest stages. Brad needs help. We need to reach out to him and love on him. The body needs to do that. Now, this is kind of a trick question, I think. But don't you want to be a part of a body that does that? One that holds us accountable, that says, you know what? I love you enough to speak truth into your life. Because you matter. It's easy to do this and to ignore situations that people are going through. But no, you've got to be willing to speak into their lives with love. Well, you'll offend them. It might feel like friction, but would you rather them walk off a cliff or have a little friction in their life? Love compels us. And yeah, they may not accept it right away. But you know what? As God continues to work on them, they'll remember who spoke up and showed the love and told them the truth. Have you ever been in a group where everybody was a bunch of yes people? You know, the word hate is bantered around sometimes. I hate yes people. I don't like yes people. Tell me the truth. If you disagree with me, disagree. And then we'll discuss it. And if we can, we'll fix it. If we can't, then if it's not an imperative, we'll move forward in harmony. Because I don't care if you like red and I like purple. Now, you can't tell me Jesus isn't the Son of God, the living God. Now we would have a critical issue that we would have to address in more detail. So to instruct one another is a positive thing. And, you know, only the arrogant and the unteachable would say, I don't want anybody. I can do all this on my own. No, you can't. I love the fact that the Bible demonstrates us, calls us sheep. One of the greatest things we know about sheep is this. They need each other. Alone, they are prey for all the things that are in the wild, They're dumb enough to walk off a cliff by themselves. I mean, they just don't have a lot going for them. I didn't just say that about you. Maybe, but no. The point is, we're told we need each other. God did not call us to do this alone. Number five, use your gifts for one another. If you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 12, 7 tells us this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. 1 Peter 4 talks about the gifts being used for one for another. Basically, it means the abilities that God has endowed you with. What is interesting is you will find very few people have all the gifts of the Spirit, but you will find that God pulls together a group of people that makes up a whole body. In other words, as NLCC is today, we are what God calls us to be. He knows whom He has brought and what gifts are available in this mix. There are gifts that I do not have. There are gifts that I have that you may not have. We are completing one another in the sight of God as a body. Does that make sense to you? And it goes back to the sheep needing one another. We need each other. And God has brought your gifts. Joanne can play the keyboard. You don't want to hear me play the keyboard. Jim leads the music. You've actually heard me try to lead the music. We have different gifts that help us to be what God wants us to be. Yesterday was a good example. For those of us that were able to come together to participate in the picnic, the things that were done, different people did different things. There was planning that went on beforehand to bring this together. There were gifts being demonstrated. On any given Sunday morning, you see different gifts being demonstrated. But you see, the thing is, God has given you a gift. Do you know what it is? Besides your salvation, I'm talking the spiritual gift. And are you using it for the glory of God? Do you use your gifts to complete the body? And is the gifts of this body being used to bless you? And if you do not feel connected, I'm going to go down a rabbit trail here for a second. If you don't feel connected in this body, this church, if you feel like you're being isolated or forgotten, if you feel like that for some reason things are just not the way they should be, I'm the pastor. Come talk to me. Now, I'm going to throw one thing back on you. I am not a mind reader. I can't know when something's not quite right for you. But if you tell me, I can at least do my best to address it and talk to you about it and take care of it if it's a fixable thing. But you have to share that. And then we'll take care of it to the best of our ability. Our gifts are to be used one for another. Turn back, if you will, to Romans 12 again. As you've noticed, a lot of our time today will be in Romans. Romans 12, verses 6 to 8 says the following. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Praise God that He gives us a list, and He doesn't say every one of you have to do every one of those things. He says, if this is your gift, do it. Now, I do have to say something here. Don't criticize other people for using their gifts and assuming that they should have your gift. And they don't do it quite like you. Our goal is for each person to be all that God has called them to be. Utilizing that gift. That helps as we move forward. We don't want to ostracize people. We want to help them to grow to be all God wants them to be. Number six, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The next one is share with one another. Now in the world, they would hear me say that and instantly they go, there goes the church again talking about money. Personally, I think that's just overblown by the world. Now, there are churches that that's all they do. God has the cattle on a thousand hills. I tell you simply, He doesn't need your money. You'll notice in our bulletin where most churches put offering, not criticizing them, we have worship through giving. Why is it called that? Because it's an opportunity to worship God through giving to His church in order to enable His church to be able to reach the community around us and meet the needs of the church. It's an opportunity to worship. You know, and so the church is like, the world, all they ever want is money. All they ever want is money. No. God wants your heart.
Amen.
And when the heart's been changed, then part of loving one another is sharing with one another, meeting those needs. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 says the following, "But not everyone knows this. Some people are still so accustomed to idols that they eat such food, they thank..." Oh, wrong Corinthians. Knew that didn't make sense. Verse 7, again, 2 Corinthians 8. "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." Not going to read the other verses there this morning. It literally means helping each other. Share with one another. To make sure the body is not without. And you know what? If we really think of ourselves two ways, let's start with understanding that we are a family. Now, I know some of you probably have a brother, sister, uncle, aunt, whomever, that you may not be talking to or haven't talked to or are estranged from. But in most cases, family takes care of family. They don't let them live on the street. They share from their own stuff to help. You and I are family. We are to share with one another from what God has blessed us with as a body here. It literally means to help one another, to be able to meet the needs. Number 7, we are to greet one another. Still in 2 Corinthians, going to chapter 13. We are to greet one another. Verse 12 says the following, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." I'm not knocking some of these organizations, but there are some denominations that literally take this to greeting each other with a kiss. I just learned to hug people about 12 years ago. I'm not up to the kissing part yet. I didn't grow up in that kind of family. I know I'm making fun, but I don't really mean it that way. I'm just showing that, you know, that would be a difficult time for me. But what we do see here is that we are to greet one another in love. If you were to see someone else in this congregation on the street walking or in a mall, grocery store, would you want to go over and chat with them, or would it be like, what are they doing here? You know, or are you actually going to spend time with them because you're excited to see your brother or your sister and actually greet them as such? When you come on Sunday morning, are you excited? Wow, so-and-so's here today. Man, I'm so glad they're here today. I'm glad to see them today. You know, we have that opportunity with a number of people. As they come in, we want to know that we're loved. I'm glad that y'all want me to be here today. That does make me feel good. It literally means to enfold the arms, to embrace, to greet. Now, again, the world will try to pervert this and say, no, people, they want to be standoffish. Okay, person walks through the door for the first time, you're not going to walk over and hug them. They might not feel too comfortable with that. But you do go greet them because you're glad they're here. And in time, you might find that they're never a hugger. That's okay. But they may be. And the greeting changes a little bit. And it becomes a little more intimate, if you will. And that's good. Because people, again, want to know. I can't overemphasize this. People need to know, want to know that they're loved. And it needs to be a genuine love. And you know what? Genuine love is easily recognizable, and fake love is easily recognizable, too. It's a matter of time. Fake love is revealed. You can only fake it for a while. It doesn't last. It can't last. Number 8. Serve one another in love. Wow, we've been talking about this a lot, but we need to expand on it a little more. Go to Galatians with me, chapter 5, verse 13. It says the following. in chapter 5, 13, you, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Wow. This is a book that's not about the law, but about grace, the book of Galatians. Don't use our freedoms to go out and indulge ourselves in sin. Use the freedom in Christ to make a difference for His kingdom. And one of the places you make the difference for the kingdom, we can get hung up. We have to be balanced in life. We can be so outward focused that we forget to take care of the body. We can be so body focused that we forget to take care of that which is outside that we're called to reach. There's got to be a balance. But we must serve one another in love, which literally means to be bound to do service, to meet the needs of. When one of our brothers or sisters goes through a tough time, a physical time, an emotional time, do you sense something inside of you? Now, you may not be a crier. That's okay. You might be a person who cries a lot. That's okay, too. But when you know that someone is going through a tough time or a hurt or facing an operation, does part of you hurt with them? That's love. You wish they didn't have to go through that. You wish there's something that you could do for them. And the more that a person senses some of that, and again, we're all wired a little differently, but the more we sense that yearning or the ache for that person kind of tells us how connected we are to that person. It means they matter to us. It's important for us to be there, demonstrating the love one for another, doing what we can for the glory of God. Number 9, carry one another's burdens, still in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. It says the following, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry one another's burdens, it literally means, the word burdens literally means a weight. A weight that is difficult for them to handle. Maybe immobilizing them. We are called to come alongside and to help that person. And we, when we're going through our difficult times and are being burdened, we should have an expectation of the church that loves Jesus Christ, that is operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, to come alongside of us and carry that burden with us. For however long it takes. I don't want to exaggerate, but I've literally heard, you'll hear churches or people, they'll go, well, we'll help them this far. What, did they stop becoming a brother? Did they stop becoming someone whom you love? You may change how you help them, but your goal is always to help them. And you should have that expectation that this body will always be there for you. And if we are not, I won't say we have failed totally, but in that instance we have failed. And I will have failed you as a pastor. You need to know that as you walk in this life, that your brothers and sisters will carry that burden with you to the best of their ability. Number 10, be kind to one another. Ephesians, if you'll turn there with me, Ephesians 4:32. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. The word here literally for kind means good. Be good to each other. You and I know people, I know human nature enough, that you and I know people that when you meet them, all they have to say to you is negative things. You're not smart enough, you're not good enough looking, you're never going to get the promotion, you just stink. They don't say it that way, but they might as well, because how many times does negativity does weigh upon us? Now, there has to be a realism. Okay? You're not going to flatter somebody and tell them, you can do something that they can't. But you do encourage them to be all they can be. That's what God tells us to do, to be good to each other. And being good means to be true, honest, real. I know this, again, about human nature. They may not like what you have to say, but people respect when people are being true and honest. They will respect you for standing your ground for what you believe. Even if they hate what you believe, they'll respect that you stand your ground. We are to be good to each other. Number 11, and our last one for today, comes from the same verse, forgive one another. I've already read the verse. It means to pardon or to rescue. Brothers and sisters, I will not go into a lot of depth here. Forgiveness in of itself is a sermon series. But I know too many people that live their lives chained to something that happened to them in the past by someone else, and they can't let it go. Now, I'm going to give you this much about forgiveness. The command of God is to forgive them before Him. When someone wrongs you, forgive it to God and let it go. Doesn't mean you're going to trust the person. Doesn't mean forgive and forget. Somebody steals $100,000 from you, praise God if you had $100,000, but if someone steals that kind of money from you, you know, that doesn't mean you're going to forget that and give them another money to hold for you to see if they'll do it again. They haven't earned the trust. Let's just be sensible. That's not what forgiveness means. What it means is, God, I release them of the debt before you of the sin attached to me. Don't hold it against them. Oh, kind of sounds like from the cross, where Jesus looked down from the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He did not give them salvation. He gave them release from what they had just done to Him. God gives us that ability to release people of what they've done to us. Yeah, but they didn't come to me and ask for forgiveness. So you're going to live the rest of your life waiting for someone who may never come to you and ask for forgiveness, and your life is going to be ruined. Forgive, that you may be free. Forgive others within the body, that they too could be free. Forgive them as God forgave you. Are you not glad here today God has forgiven you? Should we not also extend forgiveness to others? Someday I'll go into a longer teaching on forgiveness, but for this morning, just understand it starts with forgiving them before God, whether they ask or not. And if they ever come and ask, you're going to go, no problem, I forgive you. Don't mean you personally. I forgive you. Why can you forgive me so easily? I've already dealt with it 10 years ago. I gave it over to God. I've been freed of what went on. I want you now to be free. It's done. Let's move forward. Some people think somehow holding things against people is almost like power. The only power is Satan over you by not letting you go. Because it only hurts you. And unforgiveness within a body, if Satan can get into this body and somehow cause friction between some of y'all, he will win a great victory. Churches split over many different reasons, but one of them is because unforgiveness resides within the body, and people then break away because all of a sudden that unforgiveness leads to a hatred, which leads to, I can't be around you, and then they split. Love says, I will forgive. God is the judge. He will deal with whatever at some point in time. My responsibility is to forgive. As your pastor and each one to another, if I ever do anything that offends you, this is going to sound really weird and kind of radical. If I ever do something that offends you, it's your responsibility to come tell me. What? Have you ever had somebody offend you and they didn't know it? Have you ever offended someone? And it went 2-3 years later, and all of a sudden it came up. And they go, well, you offended me back when, and you're trying to remember even what they're talking about. The best way to do it is to deal with it up front and be done with it. And if the Spirit of love, meaning the Holy Spirit, is working in our midst, forgiveness will be extended, healing will take place, and we will move forward as a body of Christ. Don't give the enemy a sore to begin to fester, to cause a cancer. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you for these one another commands. And Lord, we recognize that these kind of give us a blueprint, among other things, but a blueprint for how the body should be reacting and interacting with each other. Lord, help us to grow in these graces that we may truly bring glory to you and blessing one to another. We love you, Lord. We lay this all before you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.